Can start. Okay, so today is July 27th, 2015.
Homage.
Yeah, we'll start with the homage. Okay. Getting that rumbling sound. Okay. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa.
Maybe if they muted their mics, Bhante.
You can, those people on the internet, mute your mic and let's see if that gets rid of the rumbling sound. Are any of you using a fan that's near your microphone? Wow, you muted. Now the sound is... still quite audible.
It's like your speaker's picking up something.
I'm not sure how to move on the iPad.
Oh, somebody's mic.
Are you on the iPad or the computer, June?
I am on the iPad. Okay. I'm not sure how to move the microphone on this one.
Oh, I see. I don't know. Okay, let us just go into it. Okay, so now we come to the last lesson in the book. I told you I was preparing a new book, which will take you through a lot of the Samyutta Nikaya, important suttas from the Samyutta Nikaya. Okay, so now we're in lesson 12, and wow, my task of explaining grammar is coming to an end. Okay, so we go to page 169. Okay, so we have the word ubo, which means both. And this word we do come across every once in a while. It's not rare. And we do get it in various cases. Most common is probably the nominative. And occasionally, I mean, I'm familiar with the genitive data form, ubinang. Instrumental ablative, locative. Probably we come across them, but they're rather rare. So you just have to be able to recognize it when you see it. But of course, it's easy to recognize because of ubo. So from the bo, you just think of both. Ubo, both. A good mnemonic device. Okay, then second point in the grammar is this word asu. Very rare. I'm trying to think, have I ever seen it before? Perhaps I have. Yeah, a few times, but it's very rare. So don't have to worry about memorizing it, but just look at the table of declensions. And when we come across it, I'll point it out if we come across it. Yeah, a musang, the plural. Also, I think I've seen that. Okay, point three in the grammar. This is called the geminate consonant case forms. Do you know that? Why are you laughing? Geminate, do you know the word geminate? Is there anybody whose astrological sign is Gemini? You're a Gemini? Anybody else? Bowe is Gemini?
Oh.
Wow, Mingjia is Gemini also. What does Gemini mean?
Two twins.
The twins. Oh. So,
Geminate
means, in grammar or in phonology, it means two identical letters. And so this is referring to, let's just read the explanation. Feminine I and long I stems with certain consonants before the I or I may have alternate forms with the consonant doubled. That's what's meant by geminated, the consonant doubles. This occurs in those case forms in which the consonant is followed by IY. The consonant so affected belongs to the dental or retroflex series. So the dental or retroflex series, those are the consonants T, D, N, or N, the dental N or the retroflex N. I guess also the retroflex T, D should also be included. Okay, what happens when the gemination, that's the doubling, occurs, the IY is lost and the consonant is doubled. Let me show you how that occurs, why that occurs. I'm going to share the screen. Okay, let's take the word jati, which means birth. Okay, what is the normal, say, instrumental or data form of this? The normal. Anybody?
Jatiya.
Jatiya. Right. So jatiya, by birth. Okay, now what might happen, I think this happens especially in verse, because we have to fit into a meter. And so if you say jatiya, you know, you're getting three syllables there. And so in a verse, you might have like eight syllables to the line. So what will happen to form the instrumental is that we drop the I and then we would have jatiya. But what happens in Pali when you get a TY combination is that it mutates into, because it's a little troublesome in enunciation to get tia, tia. And so what happens is that it would tend to turn into the TY would turn into a double C. Ja, ja, cha. But here we have too many heavy syllables, a long A, a double C, and a long A. And so another mutation change takes place so that that first A becomes shortened. Then we have jacha, which means by birth.
Bani,
everything we don't see, Jatiya doesn't really exist?
No, you'll see Jatiya in prose, and you'll see it in verse. Probably you'll see it in verse as well. But sometimes in verse, we need to have to fit the meter.
Okay.
I think we have in the reading, someplace in the reading, an example of this. On page 163, you see 1, 2, 3 verses. Then the third line in the last verse, third line, Najacha Vasalo Hoti, Najacha Hoti Brahmano. In this meter, you have to have 8 syllables per line. So if you say Najatiya Vasalo Hoti, we're exceeding the syllable count. And so it uses this geminated form of the instrumental. Bowie? Can you try? I think this is a little difficult for the Chinese. How about Jishu Wulin Mingjia Yongxin? Did you understand my explanation? You all understand? Ting de dong.
It's difficult for the English speakers.
The English speakers, Stephen, Carolyn?
Maybe Spanish.
We have a sort of similar kind of grammatical situation there. Same kind of situation that we call it palatalization. So
in Korean language.
Yeah. So the dental with the E changes to palatal.
Becomes more palatable.
Yeah. So whenever we have like a G U D I, it becomes G U J I. Gudi, we never Gucci. The same situation. It always happens. We have to study that in Korea.
No wonder you're good.
Okay, just to take another example. We have the word nadi, which means river. Okay, now if we want to form the plural of this, it would be nadio. But again, probably for metrical reasons, I think this occurs in prose though as well. An alternative way to express the plural would be first you drop the I and it becomes nadio. But then again, the DY combination in Pali, we never find it, because the DY turns into a double J. And so the plural of river would be Najo. Or if we have an instrumental form, singular, Nadiya. Again, the I might drop out, and so then we would have Nadiya. Whoops. Nadiya. And again, the DY combination is unstable. So it turns to Naja, by the river. curious to see if this occurs in prose.
Are these rules uniform, or depending on the writer or poet, whoever's using it, do they make their own rules up as they go?
It's not
along?
That they. I wouldn't say that this is a rule. I'd say it's a permit, maybe, to use for metrical purposes or euphonic purposes.
But was this standard practice of the time? I mean, in other words, if you're reading other writings from that era, would you be able to recognize it based on these rules?
Yeah. Because I think in what's called Buddhist hybrid Sanskrit, you get so many variant forms.
But, I mean, now we have it, right? So what it tracks would be handed down as such.
Oh, here we have in prose, actually. So this is on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Uruvela. That's a village. Okay. On the bank, now we have, this would be a genitive form, of the river. It's the Nirunjara River. So Nirunjara is the name of the river, and Naja means of the river. So on the bank of the river Nirunjara. Yeah, they're all parallel passages. Oh, quite a lot. Yeah, so this is quite a standard phrase. Let's see if there's something that might be different. The same. It seems always to be used with the Nirunjara River. Let's try for the plural. Oh, we do have plural forms. Oh, yeah, here. This is interesting. Like, this seemed to be a view of some of the heretics in the Buddha's time, that was a view that's criticized by the Buddha, that the winds do not blow, the rivers do not flow, pregnant women do not give birth, the sun, moon, and sun do not rise or set, but remain fixed in position like a pillar. So here we have the nominative plural form, nudjo. And here again we have nudjo as rivers that are used by groups of people. The many rivers used by groups of people flow and reach the ocean. Okay, so we have, you could see that we have various occurrences of nudjo, plural for nuddi. I wish that they had given an example of the nya form. I don't see that they gave one. If we come across it, then I'll point it out. Any questions on this? Okay, genitive absolute. You remember? I believe I had a genitive absolute file here. Locative absolute. Okay, genitive absolute. So the genitive absolute is used when something is happening to a subject who is doing something else. Okay, so in the example here, the first case, okay, you have a yoni so manasi karoto bhikkhuno. So when a monk is reflecting unwisely, then what happens? Anupana asava upajanti. Unarisen defilements arise. So in the genitive absolute, the subject is different from the main subject of the sentence. And the subject of the genitive absolute is doing something or has done something which is different from the action of the main subject. So here, as I explained, we have two clauses. What is the monk doing? What is he doing? Yeah. But putting it in a verb form, the monk is using a participle. The monk is reflecting unwisely. So the monk is reflecting, and what are the asavas doing? The defilements?
Arising.
They're arising. Okay, then we have the opposite case. Again, the monk is reflecting, but this time he's reflecting wisely. And what are the asavas doing? The defilements?
They're going down.
No,
they're not arising.
They're not arising. Okay, here we have a conditional. Okay, so this is the genitive absolute part, the first clause. If, so che means if. So if Kulaputta is a young man, Vayamato is making an effort or striving. So this is genitive singular present participle. So if that young man is striving thus, and those wealth, that wealth does not arise, he does not acquire wealth, then he sorrows. So first we have the subordinate secondary clause is shown in the genitive. This is the genitive absolute. And the main clause is the wealth is not acquired. Okay, this is a good example, another one. Can anybody tell me in this sentence, tell me what is the genitive absolute? Mingxia, can you tell me what is the genitive absolute in this sentence? Which clause? Yep, have to speak more loudly. Speak like a lion's roar. Yongxian Fasha, can you tell me? The genitive absolute. Kim, can't hide behind the computer screen. Kim?
The camera's not working today.
The share screen isn't working.
Oh. No, her camera. She said the camera's
oh,
not
she
working.
Has a...
But I said Kim. Kim
oh,
Behan.
Oh, Kim.
And she said, somebody said the camera's not working today.
Or maybe they can't see you.
Oh, but they don't have to see me.
Oh.
Kim, are you there? Wow, the volume is so low. Let me see, maybe it's... Oh, I see. Okay, try again. Kim?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. There's a lot of noise coming. What is the genitive absolute in this sentence? Number 5.
Not sure, Sachin.
Okay. Venerable Satchinanda. Okay, go on. Go on. Anybody say with confidence what is the genitive absolute here?
Is it can I guess one thing?
Yeah.
Is it appamatasa and panitatasa?
Yeah. Is that all? Every genitive singular word here. Okay, okay. Bhikkhuno upamatasa atapino pahitatasa. Do we end here?
Viharato.
Viharato. All of that is the genitive absolute. All of those words are genitive singulars. And so the meaning is... The subject is, what is the subject? I gave too much of it. Sort of unmindfully, I clicked the subject. So the subject is bhikkhu, or bhikkhu no. Well, actually, the subject is bhikkhu, the monk. And then what is the monk doing?
He's dwelling.
It's indicated by, first, by the present participle, viharito. He's dwelling. Then how he's dwelling is indicated by appamattassa, that's heedful, then by the word atapino, which is from atapa, which means, here it's translated ardent, and then pahitatta, which is translated resolute.
Is there another usage for the word atapino or ardent? How would you...
It just means like making a vigorous effort.
Is it similar to virya?
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, it's a sin. It means one who has virya is atapino. Okay, so the subject here is the monk, but the monk is not the main subject of the sentence. What is the main subject of the sentence? Okay.
Mind.
Yeah. So the main subject is chitang. So the mind is, his unliberated mind is liberated. And so because the secondary subject, the monk, is engaged in an action different from the main subject, so the genitive is used. And then all of the words that describe that secondary subject occur as genitive singulars also. So this makes it the genitive absolute. Usually it occurs with the present participle. Sometimes it can occur also with the past participle. Here they're
consecutively.
Yeah, if it's consecutive, then the past participle will be used in the secondary clause, which we see here, right below the past participle. This is the past participle type. I couldn't actually find many examples of this. So it seems the genitive absolute is usually used when the two actions are going on simultaneously. But here there's a time difference. This is describing the evil monk Kokalika. So, achira pakantasa cha kokalikasa bhikkhuno. So, achira means not long. Pakanta means departed. And then they're combined to describe the monk Kokalika. So not long after the monk Kokalika had departed. Then this is the main clause. Sasapa matihi pila kahi sabo kayo kayo puto ahosi. His whole body, that is the main subject. Sabo kayo. Then the whole body is described by this past participle, puto, covered. It was covered by boils. Pilaka are boils. And the boils are they're the size of mustard seeds. Sasapa is the mustard seed. Okay, so those are some uses of the genitive absolute. Okay, now it's describing in the textbook.
What page are you on, sir?
Excuse me? Okay, now it's describing a case, the use of the genitive absolute in the sense of in spite of, even though, although. So in the secondary clause, the subordinate clause, you say, although such and such happened, then in the main clause, nevertheless, this occurred. And so they give some examples. So we have mama evang vatantasa. Mama evang vatantasa eva me mito tangamang pahaya gachi. So what is the genitive absolute clause here? Wow. I can't even hear. Please, the people online, mute the microphone. But it does, it's something is...
One person is Kim. That has the iPad.
No, that's June.
Is it my iPad, Pante?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of this rumbling sound. Did you find a way to mute the volume?
Okay.
Did you find
a
way?
I will try, Pante.
Have you just put a piece of table?
I try, okay, Pante.
There's a button to the side, the iPad side.
Tell us.
Now, it seems quiet now.
She's gone.
Oh.
Oh, she went off.
Yes. She'll figure out and come back.
Okay, let us continue, because we can't delay. Okay, so what is the genitive absolute clause here? You have to speak loudly.
Mama evang vatantasa eva.
Okay, good. Okay, so the sense is, although I was speaking thus, even though I was speaking thus, my friend, having left that village, went. My friend left the village and went. Okay, then they give another example. Mata pitunang asu mukanang rudantanang so kumaro kesamasung oharetva kasayani vatani achadetva agarasma anagariyang pabaji. What is the genitive absolute clause here?
Mata pitunam asumukanam rudantanam sokumara?
No! What is the genitive absolute clause here?
Should I have stopped before?
Yeah.
Aya santusika.
I was doing good until...
Hello, Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I couldn't quite hear the previous answer, but I'll so I hope I don't make the same mistake.
Okay.
Mata pitunam asumukanam mudantanam.
Anything else?
So,
yeah.
I think,
Okay.
But in the English part that I think it is despite his parents crying with tearful faces.
Yeah. Okay, okay, that's good. It ends with Ru Dan Tanang.
Oh, I didn't know the translation.
Okay, so the subject here is Mata Pitu, mother and father, and they're put in the genitive plural, Mata Pitunang, so of the mother and father. And then they're described as with the present participle, Rudantanang. Rudantanang is crying, weeping. So that is what makes it a genitive absolute. But then the mother and father are described as asumuka. Asu means tear. Muka means face. So he calls us tearful faces. So even though his mother and father were crying with tearful faces, then we have Sokumaro, the prince, Kesamusung Oharetva, having cut off or shaved off the hair and the beard, Kasayani Vatani Achadetva, having put on the ochre robes, the clothes, Agarasma from the household, Anagariyang to homelessness, Pabaji, he went forth.
I almost had my first right answer.
So close.
Yes.
So close.
Okay, we try one more on the top of the next page. Evang Vedantia Eva Atano Matuya Sakanya Vapiang Nahaitung Gachi. What is the genitive absolute clause here? Carolyn. Is your name Carolyn?
Oh, I thought she was gone.
She's done, but not in that way.
Yong Shen Fasher. What was the last word? The last word? Okay, very good. Excellent. So, you see, Matuya is genitive singular. It means, in this case, by the mother, this is genitive, in the sense of despite. Then Vedantia is what kind of speech? What part of speech? What grammatical form? Yeah. And the ending, what does the ending show?
The genitive.
Genitive what?
Feminine. You mean like singular?
Number and gender, what does it show? Suki.
Feminine
what?
Singular.
Right, feminine singular, because it's agreeing with Matuya. Matuya is the mother. So Vedantaya is speaking. So the meaning, even though her own mother was speaking thus, that girl went to bathe in the tank. Actually, the translation here is not completely correct, because vapi means what's called a tank.
Is that like a reservoir?
Yeah, it's like an artificial lake made for bathing. So vapi is the tank, and vapiyang is the locative singular in the tank. So the girl went to bathe in the tank. Enough grammar for today? Shall we go on to some reading, do a little reading?
Sure. You said vapiam is locative?
Okay. Yeah, locative singular. Because okay. Vapi must be a feminine noun.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So vapiyang would be the feminine singular. Okay, so let's go to the first reading passage.
And please, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
About the second one, you didn't really explain the asu. What does it mean? Because according to the book, it says the sense is a certain one. But I see Wen Zhongguan's corrected into that.
Yeah, I would say, the asu, I would say is that, rather than a certain one. Okay, so let us start with the reading passage 163. And this is not so easy, you know, these verses. Okay, I'll read clause by clause, and you follow. Evang me sutang.
Evang me sutang.
So this we know, thus have I heard. Ekang samayang bhagava.
Ekang samayang bhagava.
Savatiyang viharati.
Savatiyang viharati.
Jetavane.
Jetavane.
Anatapindikasa arame. So I'm sure everybody knows this already. So on one occasion, the Blessed One was living in Savati, in Jeta's grove, in the park of Anathapindika. Attako Bhagava.
Attako Bhagava.
Pubanha samayang,
Pubanha samayang,
Nivasetva,
Nivasetva,
Patachivaramadaya,
Patachivaramadaya,
Savating Pindaya Pavisi,
Savating Pindaya Pavisi.
Okay, so Attako is then the Blessed One, then Pubanha samayang means puba means before or early, and it's joined with the word aha, which means day. So this is what we would call the forenoon. And samayang means time, so it's the forenoon time or morning time. or simply mourning. And it's the accusative case. Why the accusative case?
Isn't that called the accusative of time?
Yeah, this is called the accusative of time. It's really not an accusative meaning. It just shows a particular time. So the accusative is used often to show a particular time. So nivasetva means having dressed. Then putta chivaram adaya. Putta means the alms bowl. Chivara would be the robe. And adaya is what form grammatically?
Absolute.
What?
Absolute.
Yeah, this is called the absolutive or gerund, having taken. So having taken his alms bowl, and it's probably the extra robe. Unless they, I can't imagine that he goes bare-chested to the village and then puts the robe on only when he gets to the village. Or it might just be an expression for putting on the robe and taking the bowl. Anyway, then savatting pindaya pavisi. Pavisi is the verb. What kind of verb is this? What form? It's the aorist. So it means entered. So the regular verb is pavisati. And notice we have pavisi. The long A comes because why? Actually, I don't remember. Why do we get the long A there?
To make how is to have A in the pa plus avisi.
Right. It's the prefix pa plus, this is called the aorist augment, that is a short A. So we have pavisati. Then to make it aorist, we have pa, but then we have that A, whoops, pa plus avisi equals, or gives, pavisi. Pavisi, entered. See if we can get it.
It's Monday. It's so.
Yeah, I think it's your iPad that's causing that.
So I can log off and try to fix my computer for the.
Yeah, better log off.
Thank you. I try. I come back with my computer fixed.
Okay.
You,
okay.
Volume button, the size.
So that will check the volume of the microphone.
Okay, I think we want to move on. We have to move on. Okay, so He entered Savating. Savating is what case? Mingxia? Right, it's the accusative. Pindaya is what case? Dative. Right. It's called the dative of purpose. Four arms. So the Buddha entered Savati four arms to collect alms food. Okay, tena kopana samayena. So tena samayena means at that time. Now we have the name, the long name of a Brahmin. Agika bara devajasa. Oh, I'm supposed to read, then you're supposed to speak. Okay. Tena kopana samayena. Agika bara devajasa.
Agika bara devajasa.
Brahmanasa.
Brahmanasa.
Nivesane.
Nivesane.
Agi pajalito hoti. Ahuti pagahita.
Ahuti pagahita.
Okay, so tena kopana samayena is at that time. Then we go to nivesane. Nivesane, nivesana is like a residence, a home. Usually it implies the home of a pretty wealthy person. Because it's not just like a gara, like a house, but it seems that they have a compound with a big garden around it, maybe a wall around the house.
Would it be equivalent of a mansion?
Maybe it's not quite as luxurious as a mansion. We'll just call it a residence. At the residence of the Brahmin, his name is Agika Bharadvaja. Then Agi Pajalito Hoti. Agi means fire. And Pajalito means lit. Like the fire was lit. And here, notice we have a past participle plus the auxiliary verb, hoti. So it's just like in saying in English, was lit. So lit is the past participle of to light, and was is the auxiliary verb. So a fire was lit, and ahuti is an object of sacrifice, or oblation, an offering. Pagahita, I think the sense is that it was being offered, or maybe it was ready to be offered. I don't quite get the full picture. Let's just say an oblation, an offering was ready to be offered into the fire. Okay, then, continuing. Attako Bhagava.
Attako Bhagava.
Savatiyang. Okay, Savatiyang.
Savatiyang.
Sapadanang Pindaya Charamano.
Sapadanang Pindaya Charamano.
Yena.
Yena.
Agika Bharadvajasa Brahmanasa. Nivesanam Tain Upasankami. Okay, so now we have the Blessed One, the Buddha, is Charamano. What grammatical form is Charamano? Somebody said? Right, present participle. It means walking. And he's walking pindaya for alms food. And then we have here the word sapadanang. this is functioning like an adverb. This is a special practice, which means that when you go on alms round, you go to every house without any distinctions. Like sometimes some people will go to prosperous houses and skip over poor houses. But if you remember...
I heard it's better to go,
go to number four. They have the good
not
stuff.
So prosperous.
Excuse me?
You say, go to house number four, they have the good stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
No, but you missed my class on Saturday. I explain. In case you become a monk in Sri Lanka. That it's best, my experience in going to the really rich people, they'll come out and give you like a spoon of rice or a couple of bananas. But when you go to not the really poor, but I call like the lower middle class, like laboring class, peasant class, they give really generously because they have a lot of faith and devotion. Yeah, this is one of the Dutangas. This is the Kuxing. Megajia, Yao, Yao Chu. You don't skip houses, but every house, you go to every house without skipping. Okay, so as the Buddha is going, so he approached the residence of the Brahmin Agi Bharadvaja. Okay, then we have Adasako Agika Bharadvajo. Brahmano. Bhagavantang Duratova Agachantang. Okay, now this is irregular word order. This is part of like this, we call it the sutta style, a little bit elegant way of expression. So the verb is put first. Normally you would say, Agika Bharadvajo Brahmano Bhagavantang Duratova Agachantang Udasa. That would be normal word order. But here, to make it a little fancy, the verb is put first. But in English, we can't translate that way. We have to use normal word order. So we would say, the Brahmin Agika Bharadvaja saw the Blessed One coming from a distance. So the Brahman is in the, sees the Buddha in the distance coming. Okay then. And notice agachantang is present participle. And what case is it? Carolyn? Right. Why is it accusative?
Because it's the direct object of the subject.
Not precise enough.
Oh.
Why is it the accusative? What is it describing? Who's coming?
The Buddha.
Yeah.
The Blessed One.
So why is agachantang accusative singular?
Because the Blessed One is also.
Right. Because Bhagavantang is the accusative singular. Because the Brahmin sees the Buddha coming. And so it's the Buddha who's coming. And so the word describing the Buddha has to be in the same case as the word Bhagavantam. and that is the object of the Brahman's sight. So the Brahman sees the Blessed One coming. Okay, now, then we have Disvana Bhagavantam Eta Devocha. Okay, so Disvana, anybody know what form this is? Right. This is the gerund. It's a fancy gerund form. The simple gerund would be Disva, but this is a little fancy Disvana. Having seen the Buddha, Bhagavantam Eta Devocha, we don't have the subject here, but the subject is the Brahman, said this to the Blessed One. And this Brahman is a little bit arrogant, so he's going to speak rudely to the Buddha. So he says, Tatreva Mundaka.
Tatreva Mundaka.
Tatreva Samanaka.
Tatreva Samanaka.
Tatreva Vasalaka.
Tatreva Vasalaka.
Titahi.
Titahi.
Okay, so the verb here is titahi, that is the second person imperative. So it means stand, but in the sense of stop. And tatreva is tatra, is there, and eva gives it some emphasis, like we would say right there. Stop right there. Then he calls him Mundaka. Mundaka is somebody with a shaved head, but it's a little bit like a disparaging expression. How do you say disparaging in Chinese? Boe? Bian yi. Yeah, so it's like putting him down. Like in English, we might translate shaveling. Well, you.
Baldy.
Baldy, yeah. Baldy head. Stop there, baldy head. Then he calls him Tatreva, right there, Samanaka. So this is based on the word Samana, which means ascetic, but again, it's a little derogatory. Like you. Worthless, you Paris, you worthless ascetic. And then the word Vasalika is like somebody from a really low caste, or actually from an outcast. You outcast. Okay, so he's speaking rudely to the Buddha. Then the Buddha says, "Evang," the text says, "Evang vute, Bhagava, agika bharadvajang brahmanang." Eta devocha. Janasi panatvang brahmana.
Janasi
Paranatvang
Brahmana
Vasalangva
Vasalangva
Vasalakaraneva Dhamme
Vasalakaraneva Dhamme.
Okay, so we have Evang Vute, which means when such was said. And what grammatical form is this Evang Vute here? Right. Locative absolute. Okay, so when such was said, then Bhagava, the Blessed One, said this to the Brahman. So then the Buddha says, Janasi, so because the verb comes first here, indicates he's asking a question. Do you know O Brahman, Vasalang, an outcast, Va, or Vasala Karane Dhamme. Dhamme would be the things or qualities. Vasala Karana, that make an outcast. So the Buddha says to the Brahmin, do you know, Brahmin, what an outcast is, or the things that make one an outcast? Let's just finish the prose, then we'll take a break. So you see how the Buddha, he remains calm, he doesn't get upset and start arguing back with the Brahmin, but he just asks a question to put the Brahmin in a spot. Do you know what an outcast is, or the things that make one an outcast? Then the Brahmin says, Na kwahung bo Gotama. Yeah, you repeat.
Na
kwahung bo Gotama.
Na kwahung bo Gotama.
Janami.
Janami.
Vasalang va vasala karane va dhamme.
Vasalang va vasala karane va dhamme.
So this kwahung, it comes from ko plus ahung. So what happens when the O meets the A is that the O turns into the V, and then the A gets lengthened. I think you could also write this just drop the short A and you can say kohung. Okay, so the Brahmin is saying, now he's speaking to the Buddha a little bit more respectfully. Instead of calling him Samana, he's calling him Bo Gotama, Master Gotama, Honorable Gotama. He says, I do not know what an outcast is, or the things that make an outcast. And now he's going to politely ask the Buddha for a Dhamma teaching. So he says, Sadhu me bhavan gotamo.
Sadhu me bhavan gotamo.
Tata dhammang desetu.
Tata dhammang desetu.
Yatahang.
Yatahang.
Janeyang.
Janeyang.
Vasalang va vasala karane va dhamme. Yeah, here, sometimes the word sadhu is used in making a request. In that case, it's almost like please. So here, please let the Honorable Gotama teach me the Dhamma. Tata, in such a way, that's the tata, yata, as ahang janayang, in such a way that I can know what an outcast is, or the things that make one an outcast.
Tata is teacher?
No. Tata is thus, or in such a way. Tata goes with yata. So teach me the Dhamma, tata, in such a way, in what way? Yatahang janayang, so that I can know, so that I can understand. An outcast or the things that make an outcast. And then the Buddha says, Tenahi Brahmana Sunahi.
Tenahi Brahmana Sunahi.
Sadukang Manasi Karohi.
Sadukang Manasi Karohi.
Basi Samiti.
Basi Samiti.
So Tenahi is, here it means something like, well then, in that case, O Brahman, Sunahi. Sunahi is listen. It's the imperative. Sadukang manasi karohi. Sadukang is well or carefully. And manasi karohi is pay attention. So in that case, O Brahman, listen. Pay careful attention. Basi sami, I will speak. Then the Brahman says, Evang Bhoti,
Evang Bhoti,
Ko Agika Bharadvajo Brahmano,
Ko Agika Bharadvajo Brahmano,
Bhagavato Pachasosi,
Bhagavato Pachasosi.
Okay, so then the Brahman Agika Bharadvaja replied to the Blessed One saying, Evang Bo is like, yes, sir. Okay, now we could take a break. Anybody have any questions?
Bo, B-H-O,
yeah.
Is that related to the first word we started with, Ubo? No.
Meaning both?
Yeah.
No. Bo is, we have the word Bo Gotama. Bo is the vocative form. Did we see? No, I didn't see Bhavan. It's Bo is a vocative form related to another word, Bhavan. One of the meanings of Bhavan, say it would describe Bhavan Gotamo. Bhavan is like polite form of address, like would mean like the honorable. And so Bo is like honorable sir, or simply sir.
Is it related to Bhante?
No, I don't think so. Okay, let us take a break. Let's see. Yeah.
What's the relationship between rasa, la, karane, and dhamme? Are they two different things?
No.
First one.
Yeah. Vasala, karana, dhamma. They go together. It's dhamma are the things or qualities, and vasala, karana means making an outcast or that make one an outcast. Got it?
So even karana is a noun, it still can be used as an adjective.
Yeah, it seems to be a bahubihi compound describing dhamma. So those things that make one an outcast are Vasala Karana Dhamma.
Don't say these things are in locative? They're in locative?
Oh, Vasala Karana Dhamma?
Yes.
No, that's a good question. This is the accusative plural.
Accusative.
Yeah, because okay. Dhamma is plural. Dhamma, accusative plural.
Thank you.
If it was a singular, then it would be a locative. But it's the qualities, the things. Okay, let us take a break. Wow, it's almost 2:30, 2:27. Well, it was engaging or
yes.
Absorbing.
Oh, yes.
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 Fascinating.
Scintillating.